Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I would like to introduce Dan Reynolds to you. I think most of us know him. A lot of us have known him for a long time. I know Audrey and I have known you for a long, long time. Before you were married to that beautiful wife of yours. And but God has done some mighty things and doing mighty things in them. And Dan has a special anointing, a strategic anointing, as to know where God's going and where and to help lead us in that direction. So he has a word for us. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be powerful. And I think if we let's stand up for just a second while he's coming up here. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you for Dan and the word that he has. And we have open hearts to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's great to see you. Morning, church. I like your big new building. This is so cool. So much more space and bright and light in here. But you know what I really loved this morning was coming in to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When I was driving early this morning, I forget what road it was on. I came in late last night, got in just after midnight. And so I went out for coffee this morning, and I jumped because I passed the fire station, and they put their sirens on, not because they were going anywhere. They were obviously just testing, and I jumped. And you could see they were just playing with people as they would, the fires, yeah. And when it was, where's Kim, who gave the tongue? And then Mark gave the interpretation. Where's Mark? It reminded me of that. That when there's a tongue, it causes everybody to jump to attention. It gets your attention. And then the interpretation brought the explanation of what the tongue was all about. And that's what happened in Acts. They heard them speaking in their own language, the mysteries of God. One of the moving in the gifts is a sign not only for unbelievers, Paul says, but it's also a sign that the Holy Ghost is moving. And I loved it when Mark just began to unfold just the word just coming out, explaining. I thought, I just love this. And the words you said, Mark, about the tent, I just want to I believe it. God is going to, there's going to be an outpouring. What starts in an upper room always goes out into the street. Amen. Amen. It's just great to be here. I was actually supposed to be with you a while ago, and I got a really bad back. I actually broke my back. And someone came in as I came in this morning and said, "How's your back?" And I said, "Great." And I thought, God, and they said, "Well, we prayed for you." So I want to just say thank you so much for praying. I'm going to give you a little bit of context before I share, and it will kind of tie into what I want to share today. But I went to there was twice in my life I've had a very bad back. One was about a year ago, and I was in my car, and I couldn't get out of my car, and my boys met me at the emergency room in the end, and they had to carry me out of the car, and they rushed me in and ran all these tests. I may have told you this story before. Did I tell you this part? And I thought, this is, you know, people are like, this is a spiritual attack. Dan's dealing with these legalities in Africa, and this is a spiritual attack. And I was like, yes, it's a spiritual attack. And then I said to I thought, I'm interested to hear what the medics say. So I said, "Doc, what is it?" And he said, "Well, we've ruled out this, we've ruled out this, we've ruled out this. So really, it's just all part of your disease." Now, I was in so much pain, I've been taking the gas, you know, and these Vicodin. So I'm not used to having drugs in my body. So I was just thought everything was more humorous than perhaps I should. So, of course, my boys were there, and they were like, "Disease? We didn't know you had a disease." I said, "I don't have a disease." And he says, "Yes, you do." And I said, "What's my disease then?" He said, "You're obese." I said, "Well, that's a little rude. How much is this going to cost me for you to tell me that?" Ah, now, because I'd had these drugs, I said, "And anyway, you're not so trim yourself." Well, his nurse is laughing like, you can't say that. And I started to say all kinds of things that I should not have said. And my boys were sliding down the wall, just onto the floor in this little room in the ER, like, Dad, just stop talking. I'm like, why? It's true. He's bigger than I am. So I said, well, if it is true and I really am obese, I mean, I might be in England, but I'm an American now. So I'm not obese. So I'm in England. They're just tiny, aren't they? They're like, wow. You know, when they go to England. Anyway. So I said, so if that's true, then what's the answer? And he said this, you need to strengthen your core. I'm like, and how much is that going to cost me? And they sent me a bill for like $3,000. So I didn't strengthen my core. I just carried on because I just thought that's stupid. Compared to other people, I think I'm doing fine. And I don't think I'm obese. That's just your opinion. And I'm doing fine. Until the second time I got a bad back. And this time I have never known pain like it in my life. And so I went to a chiropractor, which I hadn't been to very many times. He loves God. And I went with Fee because I just couldn't hardly move. And it took me about 40 minutes to get out of the car. And eventually I got in there and he just did all these tests. He said, Dan, I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to go for an x-ray. Well, I couldn't leave the chair. I was in so much pain. He said, Dan, can you keep it down a little bit? Now, I got a high tolerance for pain, and I am just yelping. This is just really hurting. So eventually I got in the car, and he sent me to the x-ray. The x-ray came back unclear, so they said you need to get an MRI. So I got an MRI, and they said you have a crack in your back. You've got a break in your L3. So then they sent me for a CAT scan, and off we went, and now suddenly I'm in so much pain, I cannot move. And people are praying again and saying, this is the enemy, this is attack. And one day I was lying in our bed and I woke up and there was no one in the house and the fan was on and I was trying to reach to the other side of the bed to turn the fan off. And it took me, ready, 4 hours to turn over. I was in so much pain. It was like every ounce of my being just to move, just an inch, with this crack in my back. It was so painful. And by the time I turned over, I couldn't reach it. It was still out of reach. My phone was now on the other side of me because I didn't think to take it with me when I went on this journey to turn over. So then I just had this moment. I thought, I give up. I'm in so much pain. I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to me. And he took me back. He said, son, you can listen to all these different people blaming the hospital. They should have sent you for an MRI. You've had a bad back all this time. This is terrible. What do we have insurance for? You're not that big. You shouldn't. La, 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 la. But I spoke to you through the doctor and you knew it was me because you acknowledged me at the time when you went home. And I told you to strengthen your core. I knew when that doctor said it. When I went home, it was the word of the Lord to me. And the Lord says, you can do laps and I will heal you, but I want you to obey me. We had a pastor from India staying with us. I was so in so much pain. He stayed with us for 3 days. Fee was looking after him. He's staying in our basement and I couldn't even move. And he said to me, he messaged me and he said, I had the same thing as you and I'm going to pray for you, brother, and you're going to feel warm. He said, you're going to feel warm in your back and Jesus is going to heal you and I'm not going to eat until he does. We had Josh Luke Smith, who many of you know, in for the weekend, and Josh was speaking and this Indian pastor was speaking at Life Church in St. Charles. And I turned on the live stream and I started to watch. And as I was there in that pain, the Lord said, I will heal you if you obey me. And I said, Lord, I'll obey you. And he said, then strengthen your core. Now, don't laugh, but I used to be a gymnast. Hey. Guy. Very hurtful. And so muscles have memory. I think mine have amnesia, but they have memory. And so with everything in me, I bared down in that bed and I strengthened my core. And as I sat up, my back went warm. As the Indian pastor said, you'll go warm. And I felt the warmth of the Lord. And I stood to my feet and I was totally healed. Totally, completely healed. God's so kind, isn't he? What I want to talk to you about is very simple today. And you can write these three words down. And it's simply this. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in. If you can turn to Proverbs, that's where I want to read from. Proverbs chapter 3, and this is a scripture that we've all read many times, and it's simply this. Proverbs 3 verse 6, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and here comes the promise, and he will make your paths straight. In all, everyone say all. Our ways. That means in all our ways, every single way, every part of our life, if we will let Jesus in by acknowledging him, he will make our path straight. Peter says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, watch this, through the knowledge of him. Back it up. Through the knowledge of him. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. It starts off by saying this. Peter says, his divine power. Everyone say power. So if you slow it down and read it slowly, here's what he's saying. The power of God is accessed through the knowledge of him. The more we know him, we'll know his power. And for me, I was stuck in a place living in this cyclical pattern, thinking, I'm not going to change. I don't need to change. Until God says, if you know me and you listen to me, you will access my power because I've given you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of knowing who I am. So let's really jump into this. Can I just say really quickly, and this is really fresh news, and I just want to just throw it out there. Particularly if you're young, we're looking at Bible trainings for people of all ages right now. But is Rick here, Rick Perryman? Okay, so Rick, came through St. Charles with Rajib a couple of weeks ago. And he said, Dan, have you ever noticed how many people in our churches around the world have been through some kind of training program, whether it be CDT, and there's such a lasting effect even to this day? Through those foundational truths. And I said, yeah, it's true. He says, why don't we have one? And what he didn't know is we just had a live streams board meeting in the UK, of which Tom Kyle, your beloved pastor, was a part of. And we came up with one thing. John Washko is always telling us if we focus on five things, it's this percentage, three things, two things. But if you focus on one thing, you have a very, very high percent chance, like 96% chance, of actually achieving your goal if we focus on one thing. And so what we decided is we were going to focus on training. Everyone say training. And so we've developed it and thrown it back and forth. But next year, in July, for 1 month, the month of July only, for kids in high school, the last 2 years of high school, 17 and 18, do you call that junior and senior high?
Yeah.
I said that the other day, like, that's not what it is. I'm like, but it's high school, juniors and seniors? That's not junior and senior high? They're like, no. I'm like, confused. Okay. So, but those ones, if you are a junior and you are a senior and you're in high school, not junior high or senior high, but just if you're a junior and a senior in high school, then it applies to you. And then if you're 19, 20, all the way to 21, so 17 to 21, and you want to take that month, or you want to send your kids to the month, we're going to have it on our new site. We've bought 20 acres of land. It's an old farm, and we've got outbuildings and houses, and it's just wonderful. We just had our first wedding there this last summer. Just gone. And that's where they're going to be camped for that whole month. And it's going to be called the School of Life. There's so many ministry schools and so many training for this and training for that. But I, with all my heart, I think more than ever before, we need a school that trains people for life. Trains them in social graces, trains them in character, yes, but not just train them for just the church ministry, how to be a better life group leader, or how to be a better preacher or a teacher, but into every sphere of life. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, and he said this, "And the church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Okay, so the church, everyone say church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, God's people, are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Everything in every way. There's a man named Lance Wallnau who developed Seven Mountain Mandate along with people like Lauren Cunningham over the years. And I love it. And Lance is a great friend of mine. But I said, Lance, how can the church be a mountain if the church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, that fills every mountain? It can't be standalone, right? Because it fills all the other mountains. Anyway, so we're going to train young people for that 1 month. And you know, young people think differently than old people. Not old people, I mean older people. I've just had to learn that myself. Like, I think I'm young, I think I'm cool, and I just found out that maybe I just think differently. You know, a recent report said many of Gen Z, the reason they don't know what they want to do with their life is because the jobs that they will do have not yet been created. They think differently. In our, maybe my generation or your generation, what will you do for a living? It's like, and that's changed. A Gen Z will say many things. I might take a year off, work for a year, travel for a year, do this. And then we all freak out, oh, we can't do that. But they just think differently. We always have a lot of young people in our house, and my job is normally to feed them. That's my only job, to prepare the food, buy the food, prepare the food, cook the food, and then clear away the food. And this last week, I was at home, and my youngest son, Jonah, is the last one staying at our house. He said, hey, Dad, could you cook some of those burgers? I'm like, sure, I'd love to. And I love to cook, so I cooked for everyone. I went, now, I've got some sauce. You're going to love this sauce. Sauce, sauce, sauce. Everyone say sauce, 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 sauce. So I got the sauce out of the fridge, and I said, listen, you're going to love this. This is just the bomb. This is great. And so I poured some out, and I said, now, try that chicken with that. And Jonah goes, wait. And he walks up and he grabs the bottle. He said, I know my dad, wait. He said, Dad, this is expired. And I'm sitting there just like dumbfounded. What? Who cares? It's still great sauce. Expired? Who even reads those? And he threw it in the bin. And all these young people are like, sick, nasty, that's gross. So I'm just sitting there like, and then they didn't even want eat the food I provided. Because it had been ruined by the sauce. And I walked away thinking, so weird. You know what I had to realize again? Is what I think is amazing to them has expired. And has no value. Now I can push and say, but it does have value. But I can't, because it has technically expired. Anyway. Oh, should we get into this then? All right. Change chapters. Ready? What are we talking about? Let Jesus in. What's the scripture? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the promise is he will make our paths straight. I want you, if you can, to imagine a house. Close your eyes if you like, but imagine a house. This is a beautiful house. It's a big house. Can you imagine it? It's got an upstairs and a downstairs. It's got bedrooms. It's got living rooms. It's got lots of different rooms. And now I want you to imagine that this house is alive. It's living. It's active. I want you to imagine this house is a spiritual house. I want you to imagine that this house is God's house. In John 14, it says, I go to the Father to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house there are many rooms. And I love this. It's in Proverbs. It says, and in the house, in God's house, the rooms are full. And I just love this because I'm a bit eccentric, apparently. And I like stuff and I like collecting stuff. If you go into my office, it's just, there's just stuff like that means something to me. And in the Proverbs it says, and these rooms are full of rare and interesting things. That's God's house. So if you're a minimalist, that's just boring. Right. Okay, we're going to go through seven rooms, okay? And I just want to, and again, my purpose today before we pray is that we will let the Holy Spirit, we'll let Jesus in to each one of these rooms in this house. Okay? That's where we're going. So that we can acknowledge him in all of our ways. We can acknowledge him in every room in our house. And for me in this journey, and I believe it's a journey God it not only took me on, but is continuing to take me on and wants to take the body of Christ on, is letting him into every room in our house. To just come in and start moving things around. And so first room is the kitchen. Will you say that with me? The kitchen. The kitchen. In our house, this is a room for preparation. It's a room where food is stored and prepared, but it's also a really messy room. I don't know about you. Maybe you live in like a show home and you know, people like no one ever comes over, but they're just vacuuming every day. It's like, I don't know who for, but we're not like that. I wish we were sometimes, but when people come over, it's a little embarrassing, and I just say, hey, sorry about the mess. We live here. And we have a dog called Tarji, who some of you have met. He's now one. And I said I'd train the dog. I didn't train the dog. The dog's not trained. He's just crazy. He just jumps, and he runs, and he's takes a cushion, thinks, you have one cushion, I'll make it into 50 pieces. Then you'll have 50 cushions. But the problem is, now we fell in love with the dog, and so... Well, Fee went through some bereavement last year, and so I decided, I travel a lot, so I'll buy two cats and a dog, and then I got on a plane. Anyway, that's why our house is a mess. But our house is a mess. You know, and I think I got a bit of a redneck in me. Is that a derogatory term, redneck? A little bit? Okay. I'm a redneck. Okay, I think. I saw a sign the other day that says, you know if you're a redneck, if you're straddling a transmission while taking a shower. Yeah. I'm kind of like that. I like stuff. I collect stuff. And sometimes it ends up, you know, like in the middle of the kitchen, like by the bread and, you know, tools and stuff. And I get in trouble for that. But anyway, I'm going somewhere with this. It's the center of the home. It's where activity happens, where food is prepared, stored, consumed, and thrown out. It's the place where people gather. It's the place where stuff happens. It's the place where conversations happen. If you've got people over and there's something happening, it's the place where you need people to serve. You remember Martha, Martha? Why do you worry about so many things? Only one thing is required. And Jesus says, I tell you, Mary, Martha chose what was better. Mary chose what was better. Thank you, Mark. Man of the words. Good. No, it's good. We're gonna move out of the kitchen. And just a side note here, the reason Martha was offended was because she was giving something to Jesus that Jesus never required. Just as a little side note for someone, this might be helpful. Have you got offended because you keep giving things that no one ever asked for? Do you give gifts that people perhaps never asked for or never wanted, but you thought they'd want it and now you're offended? Can I just suggest that today you let Jesus into that offense? That you let Jesus in and say, just Jesus, come in, because I know what that's like. And the Lord brought me to this scripture one day and he said, you're offended because you gave something that you thought that they would like, but it meant a lot more to you than it did to them. And now you're offended that they don't want it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Number two is the family room. Number two, the family room. The family room, or the living room, do you call it a living room, a family room, is a place of conversation. It's a place of communication. It's also maybe a place of conflict. Maybe your living room is right connected to the kitchen. Maybe they're all in one room. It's a place of fun, the family room, the living room. It's a place to relax, to unwind, to play games, to watch movies, to chill. Can I just suggest that perhaps some people need to get out of the kitchen because they found, you found, I found, we found our identity in working, 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 working. And actually, if we'll let Jesus in, he'll say, will you just go and sit down and chill out? Will you just go and take a rest? Will you just go and lie down in the living room and watch a movie? Have a laugh with your family? Play a game? Instead of being so intense about all the things that have to go on in the kitchen. Imagine this in church life. This is a spiritual house. I've noticed this in the church at large, is whatever the thing is that God is showing us, that becomes the thing. It's all about this. If you're into missions, well, it's all about missions. Why? Because the Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In fact, it's all about discipleship. And if you're into worship, it's all about worship. It's all about glory. It's all about worshiping. It's all about seeking his face. If it's prayer, well, it's all about prayer, brother. If it's the word, well, it's definitely all about the word, obviously. Everything's got to be biblical. Everything's got to be, of course, but it's all about the word. Or it's all about homeschooling. Or it's all about this. Or it's all about that. Or it's all about spiritual warfare. Or it's all about marriage. Or it's all about the kids. It's all about, it's not all about any one thing. Paul says, I was faithful to teach you in Acts 20, the whole counsel of God. That's quite a statement. I was faithful to teach you the whole counsel of God. And so it's important, if we are stuck in the kitchen, to move out and get into the living room. But what about if you're in the living room and you never go into the kitchen? And in your life, you're like, well, I just need to chill out. I was talking to one of my children this last week about chilling out. And I was talking about procrastination. And I said, if we don't do what we should do, we become, but if we don't do what we do know, we become paralyzed by what we don't know. It's important that we activate and do what we know to do. And so we were talking about not doing things, prolonging things, procrastinating. And it's a hard conversation to have, because you never want people to feel lazy. But the truth is, sometimes our lives are so full, but if we actually took inventory about what our life is full with, we do have margin. We've just filled them up with other things. True? Too much for a Sunday? Can I keep going? Some of you are like, ooh, I'm feeling a little tension. Like, yeah, that's you, honey. Okay. And as I went away, I found myself headed to the living room, or as more of a den, to watch my show. Now, the thing is with this show is there's nothing, I won't tell you what it's about, what show it is, because you might judge me. But I've been watching this, and I don't, you know, you start a series, and then you're just kind of like, oh, this is a great series. And then suddenly you find yourself making time to watch your show. Nothing wrong with this, okay? I don't want to put, I'm not trying to put condemnation or religiosity or being legalistic on anyone. My point is we need to have fun, but at the same time, we need to be aware, self-aware of where we're spending our time. Because I realized that I'm deep into this show and I'm transfixed on it, but my wife doesn't like it. And so I have to watch it on my own. Because she doesn't like people getting killed. Weird. It's not a bad show. I know some of you want it. It's just about a bunch of people that break out of prison. Right. So, some of you got that. And as I was sitting there, I thought, Lord, I want to make sure, like my back, that I am disciplined enough that this hasn't got a hold of me. And I'm not saying I'm anything great here, but I just hit stop, I deleted the show, and I went and sat with my wife. So I have no idea what happens. And I was just like halfway through. So I just ask other people now. But here, I totally let it go. I never actually even bring it up. So, I want to provoke you today to let Jesus in. Let Jesus into your conversations. Let him into your time. Let him into your schedule. Let him into the things that have got to hold you. There's nothing wrong with these things in of the self. The issue is, do they have us? Do they have us? We all talk about addictions, or that person's addicted to drugs or to alcohol. But we can be addicted to all kinds of things. And sometimes it's a healthy practice to say, Jesus, I'm opening this door. Will you examine this? Will you pour your life, your light into this and show me if I need to change? And be ready to do it. And the great thing about God is his kindness that leads us to repentance. He's so kind, church. He's such a loving, wonderful dad. All right, number three is the bathroom. I'm going to stay on this for a very short amount of time, okay? It's the bathroom. It's the place where we get rid of stuff. This last week, Fee and I opened an Airbnb. We love business and just allow God in to bless us in areas so we can make money to just have surplus income and to do stuff with. So we bought this house. We bought it cheap. It's right on the river. It's just great. Feel free to come and stay, but you have to pay. And then and we had it fixed up, and we had a crew of people in there, and went through the filing touches and put all the staging in, which we love, and it's all just a beautiful house, just literally right on the water. You can fish off the dock, right? And so we hit go live. And within 72 hours, we were booked for the month. Wonderful. And we were getting ready for our first guest. It was last Saturday night, so it's just a week. And the guest moved in. It's lovely. Can't believe this. Thank you so much. And then 55 minutes of them being there, they said the toilet has backed up. Now, I've been going through a series with the church called Not Me. And it's an acronym for None of These Things Move Me. And it's from Acts where Paul says, I know that in the next town I go to, hardship, beatings, imprisonment await me. In the King James, it says this, but none of these things move me. And I was talking about not being moved by life's stuff. And so I have to live that too. So I thought, not me. Not me. None of these things move me. I'm not going to be moved by this. And then they started sending pictures. And I'm like, oh gosh. That's nasty. Like, really nasty. like bathtubs filling up. I'm like, okay. So I'm not moved, but I'm going to drive fast. So I got there fast, and they said, we are leaving. It smells in here. So they left, first guest. My wife's a seven-year super host, and that status is really important. So she's like, ah! And I'm going to be preparing for meeting the Sunday meeting the next day, and now I'm doing this. And by the grace of God, somebody came with one of those rotarooters, and they pushed everything through. And I said, what caused the problem? And they said, roots. And I thought, oh, I've had this before. Roots in the clay tiles. A house that's been empty for a while. They just worked their way in. And he said, you know, you can fit 12 people in that house. They're all showering and using the bathrooms and the sinks and the dishwasher. And that's why everything backed up, because of the roots. I said, but there's not any trees. He said, yeah, but trees, even once you cut them down, the roots will still keep growing for 10 years. Some of you know where I'm going with this. It doesn't matter how beautiful your house is. It doesn't matter how beautiful the rooms in your house are. If you have roots that are blocking the thing that needs to go out, it will back up and the house is uninhabitable. They all left. They said it stinks in here. So we gave them a free night, and they gave us a 5-star review. So it's good. We're all good. But listen, it's really important that we deal with the roots in our life, because I am convinced that God is always so kind to us, he will let us do laps, but it is not his intent. We can be on this cyclical pattern. Lord, I'll change next year. But life is going by really fast. Did you know it's that? Sometimes I'm like, life's going by really fast. This is it. Seize the day. Grab life. Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to be radical. They told me I had to lose 60 pounds. I've lost 30. I got 30 to go. But I have to be radical. And I don't want to. I like to make excuses. It's hard. But Lord, I want to. I want to change. I have to change. See, we don't talk about this very much, but the Bible says he disciplines those who he loves. He loves. So if we're being disciplined, it's because he loves us. And so often, this is a very sensitive thing to talk about, because discipline can look like punishment. But if you tell your children, don't put your hand in the fire, and they do, and they burn their hand, does that make the parent an abuser or a punisher? No. It just means that the choice that they made to disobey caused them pain. Right? It is a consequence. My friend was in France, and he said, on the bottle of this sparkling water, it said, con gas. Con is with, gas. With sparkling, with bubbles. Con, with, sequence. Consequence. 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 We live in consequences. It's not God punishing me. It is a misunderstanding of the very nature of God to think God is out to hurt us and damage us and cause us pain and harm. No, it's the consequence. It's the sequence of events that is now happening as a result of a decision that I made. And if we will let Jesus in, he'll say, I did talk to you about it. Remember? In Matthew 18, it says, if your brother wrongs you, go to him, just the two of you, and show him his fault. If he hears you, you won your brother. Who said that? Jesus would be a hypocrite if he didn't do that to himself, to us first. So whenever we feel the discipline of the Lord coming from an outside source, you can be sure that Jesus has actually already talked to you about it first. And because he loves us, he'll bring someone else. And sometimes it's a doctor who's maybe dealing with the same problem. Doesn't matter. The Lord's saying, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to you. And you know, I talk to people, you should sue the hospital. That's terrible. They missed this and missed this and missed this. And through all the noise, the Lord's saying, but that's not what I said to you. I said, strengthen your core. But you didn't. And I love you, son. But if you'll do it now, I will help you. And God healed me. It was a miraculous healing. But God said, but I know, the Lord says, I'll heal you when you obey me. You follow? Number four, the bedroom. The bedroom. The bedroom's a place of rest. You know, the Bible says the sleep of the righteous is sweet. We should sleep well. We should rest well. Where I stayed last night, there was a cat in the house screaming like he was being murdered all night long from 3 a.m. I got in at 1, and then at 3, it starts screaming. And so I said to someone who lives in the house, his name's Sam, what was that noise? He said, oh, you should just let the cat out. I said, I thought that cat was going to kill me. I could just hear this shrieking, like blood-curdling, like I'm not going to let some cat that I don't know out. Anyway. Ooh. It's a place where we bathe. It's a place where we dress. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of vulnerability. When we're sleeping, we're vulnerable. That's why, church, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Can I just suggest that we start letting Jesus into our sleep? Jesus into our most vulnerable areas of our life. Let him in. What do you think about the last thing before you go to sleep? Do you think about, acknowledge him. Lord, I acknowledge you. Lord, I thank you for this day as it's about to close. And Lord, you know, for me, I think it's good to be really honest with the Lord. When I say that, I don't mean charging God with wrongdoing. I don't mean getting angry at God. I don't mean like we and God, sometimes like me and the man upstairs are not on talking terms. I'm like, wow. He's God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. But it does mean we say, Lord, I'm really hurting right now. Lord, I want you to come into my disappointment. I want you to come into my pain. I want you to come into my bereavement. I want you to come into my addiction. I want you to come into my anxiety. I want you to come into this mental health thing. I want you to come into my debt. Lord, I just want you to come in. And in a moment, we're going to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit just to come in, that we'll let him in. If we acknowledge him in all of our ways, I believe, church, things are going to straighten up. Whether it's a physical back, whether it's a dream, whether it's things of mental health. And please, I'm not saying that this is just a magic wand. I'm just saying, let Jesus in and he'll start a process today of healing us from the inside. Can you imagine a house that is alive with the living God, full of his people that have just let him in to every area, every part? So the bedroom, number five, the study or the office. Sounds like you have a study or an office in, you do study an office. I don't know about you. Mine's kind of mixed because it's like where I pay my bills and all my legal stuff comes, and it's also a place where is my study. But I'm more like God when it's full of rare and interesting things. So people come in there, and people who are minimalistic, they just get anxiety. They're like, oh, because there's just stuff from all over the world, like stacked to the ceiling. I love it. I think it's amazing because it's rare and interesting. And a friend of mine, his has four white walls and a red square. That's all he has. And then a plastic table from IKEA. I'm like, this is not... But he's more minimalistic, which is not like God. But anyway, but it's a place where it's my space. I love it. Some of us need to spend more time there than in the living room or the bedroom to get stuff done. When we don't act on what we do know, we become paralyzed by what we don't know and actually start moving. You know, planning is a good thing. Plan your work, then work your plan. Having a plan is a good thing. It's where you pay your bills. It's where you make those decisions. I was talking to one of my kids this last week. He was over at the house, and the twins have moved out. Judah got married, one of the twins, this summer. And it was my other the other twin, and he said, "Dad," he said, I was thinking about tithing, and I was thinking about my budget, and I'm starting to tithe, and I'm just seeing God unlock things. But he said, "What do you think about this?" And he said, "You know the scripture that says he gives seed to the sower and bread for food? You know the scripture?" He said, "I sometimes wonder," he wasn't being prideful, because I know that some of the seed, what I know, I'm learning what money God gives for me as seed to sow. And I don't eat it because I know it's seed to sow. And he gives seed to the sower. So when I sow it, it reaps a harvest, and then God gives me more seed to sow." And he said, "But it also says he gives us bread for food. And sometimes I see people and I feel bad, because it feels like they only live with enough resources and money to feed themselves. And they don't have any seed to sow. And I was wondering what you think about this, Dad, that perhaps they only ever get bread to eat and never seed to sow. It's because they never sow any seed. So the only food they ever have is for them. But if they had just a little bit of seed and said, 'I'm going to sow it.'" See, do you know there's no such thing as a big tither or a small tither? Either you tithe or you don't. Jesus was a lot more impressed by the woman with one penny, to the point where he said, "Disciples, come and look at this. She gave more than all of you." And I think God's economy is, if we'll give the Lord the first fruit, the 10%, the tithe means 10%. And we'll trust God just with that and just see what will happen. He'll open the floodgates of heaven. But here's the thing, then you start to realize, is see, everybody loves the story of giving, but then we're not so impressed when they get blessed. Well, how do they get blessed? They must have done something wrong. No, they just got really good at giving, and then they realized that actually all this seed they kept getting is seed to sow, so they just keep sowing it and sowing it and sowing it, and it's just, it's almost unfair, because it's not really their seed. They just get it because God knows they'll sow it. And then it just becomes this big game. It's like, this is just so fun. Where shall I sow? The people are like, "You're so generous." It's like, "It's not actually mine, but thank you." Anyway, study. Let Jesus into your study. Let him into your prayer life. Let him into your... Can I say, if you're not a morning person, don't try and become a morning person to pray. Do you pray in the evening? He's there all the time. All right, number six. The garage. The garage. Yes, it's a garage. No, it's a garage. I'm bilingual guy. I'm learning. We have a two-car garage, and we have never parked one car in it. So I just want to be really vulnerable. I have nothing to say. Sometimes I go to people's houses, and I see their garage, and it's cleaner than our dining room table. Like, it's like, wow. The cars are clean. You know, it's got it all like, you know, what's that floor, that epoxy floor, and it's painted like nicer than some people's houses. And there's not even any tools, because it's their garage, and it's just clean and perfect. That's definitely not our experience. I buy lawnmowers because they're just, I got them cheap, and then I'll buy another one, and it's the same one, and I'll make one up, and then I'll the other, then I'll keep part, because I just like that, because it's interesting, and it's rare. And I have bits of bikes, and people that are minimalist, they just get anxiety in my garage. They're like, "Oh, I have to get out of here." But I know where everything is, because everything is exactly where I put it. And I need it, and I know where it is. Anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? But I also know that there's things in my garage that can't be thrown away, which I would never want anyone to clear up for me, like IRS stuff, you know? Like, how many years you got to have a... Well, it's just there. I know where it is, and it's just there in boxes. So And then there's just, and then I've got other, here's another thing I have in my garage. I have this box, it doesn't say it on the box, but I know it's full of prophetic words. So it's really precious to me. What in your life have you stored for a long time, and you know, if you're really honest and vulnerable, that it's time to let Jesus in to those boxes? Because some of them do have to go. Some of them, have you ever, I mean, I try not to go to garage sales now. Because I buy things from a garage sale, I put them in my garage, and then I sell them 3 years later in a garage sale. And I can't remember what I paid for it, and I always like to make a profit, so then I don't, it's frustrating. But I just think, why did I do that? So now I think, because you get older and you become wiser, and you think, no, I'm just going to hold this for 3 years and then try and sell it, so I won't buy it. Yeah, so it's good. But acknowledge the mess. Sort through it. What needs to be stored? What's in its rightful place? What needs to go? Church, in all your ways, acknowledge him. For some of you, just as I'm sweeping through, some of these are hitting and some of them aren't. Some of you are like, there is clutter. Take out, now just, it's now make it a spiritual garage. What are you storing? Are you storing hurt? Are you storing pain, disappointment? I want to invite you today to let Jesus in to that disappointment. It's hard. I know I've spoken this about this before, but the whole thing of Zechariah. I'm not going to go there now, but the whole thing of having a hard heart and not when Jesus comes, when Jesus shows up with good news, if our heart is hard, the good news bounces because it's like seed and it can't go in. And it defiles the moment where God says, hey, I want to talk to you about your future. You say, I can't because it's full. But I can't because there's too much pain. I can't because there's too much shame. You know, God hates shame. He hates shame. Shame says, guilt says I did something wrong. Shame says there's something wrong with me. Maybe it's actually letting Jesus in and acknowledging your shame today. So Jesus, will you come into this shame, this box that I've had hidden? I've actually never told anyone. Because what will people think of me? And anyway, I already know there's something wrong with me. But if you open that lid and say, Jesus, will you come in? He doesn't want to embarrass you. He just wants you free. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not let yourself, which means it's possible to let yourself, be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. He wants us free this morning. And finally, number 7, I'll end with this one, is God's house. I want you to imagine, even today as we're meeting God's people, the ecclesia, gathering together, Hebrews says, don't stop meeting as some are in the habit of doing, but actually eat meat and eat all the more meat, all the more as the day approaches. That's why I loved Mark's word about tents and pushing boundaries. And we've got to think big, right? We've got to start thinking big. We've got to start saying, Lord, I've got to deal with this stuff in me. Lord, I want to open my heart to you because there's a world that the only Jesus that they will ever see is probably you and probably me. And so we meet, for most of us, just for an hour and 45 minutes a week on a Sunday. Maybe once, twice, three times, four times at the best a month. And we worship together and we sing together and we hug one another and encourage one another and hear the prophetic words and we hear the word of God preached. That's kind of it. But what would happen if we let Jesus into every room in our lives to the point where we were like I came in today and I was just so lovely, just people just hugging you and just saying, it's so good to see you. Imagine, not maybe not hugging because that's a bit weird in work, but imagine people that you didn't that you've never, that don't know Jesus, but they can just see Jesus in you. That you're generous, your generosity spills outside of the church. Your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control. Rather than just, well, I don't drink or smoke or cuss or chew. That's how everyone knows I'm a Christian. What? But what about letting Jesus in so you just can't stop but just love people? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not easily angered. But every area of our life, we just, man, people see Jesus. I was at a garage sale this last summer. And I met a guy from Uganda. And he'd seen some stuff and he called me and I said, where are you from? I didn't even see him. And he said, I'm from Uganda. I said, whereabouts? He said, Kampala. I said, I go to Kampala every year. He said, wow. I said, and his wife came on. She said, I'm so excited. She said, are you a believer? I said, yeah. She said, I said, what are you looking for? She said, this, we'd like this. I said, just take it all. It's all free. And they said, could we come and see you? And they came, and then they came on Sunday. Last Sunday, he said, hey, we just want you to know. We want to become a part of Life Church here in St. Charles, and we just love it here. And I said, that's great. I'm so glad. And he said, the reason why is we were going to different places, and our daughter, who's maybe four, said, I want to go to the Holy Spirit Church. But does what happens here, does it go out into the streets? Because it can only happen when we allow Jesus in. Let's stand together, can we? Will you just put your hands out wide? I know normally we put our hands on our hearts, but if you didn't wear deodorant today, then maybe don't. But. No, I was like, what? No, I'm kidding. It's good to laugh, church. It's good to have a laugh. Adults laugh about 30 times a day. Children laugh in excess of 400 times a day. Adults ask about 8 questions a day. Children ask in excess of 400 questions a day. And for adults, some of our questions are, where's the bathroom? Where's this? Where's that? Can I encourage you? I just feel to say this isn't in my notes. Some of you just need to laugh hilariously. And look in the mirror and laugh at yourself. Laugh at yourself. Don't be so serious. Laugh with your kids. Laugh with your parents. Laugh with your spouse. Laugh with your neighbors. Have a laugh. People want to laugh. Ask God questions. Ask the Word questions. Be inquisitive. Ask yourself about your own life. Like, what areas of my life are actually a bit stuffy, do I never want to talk about? I never want to go there. So just put your hands out again, I'm going to pray. Oh. Jesus, today I just thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You know what we need before we ask. I thank you the way you're such a kind Heavenly Father. You're so kind to us. Thank you that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. Not your bullying, not your demanding, it's your kindness. And in the way you're so kind to us, Lord, as we've just got our hands raised, our hearts open in a sign of surrender, Jesus, we let you in. Will you say this with me? Jesus, I'm asking you to come in. And just fill in the blanks, just quietly to yourself, and say what it is.
hurt, pain. I could go on, but what about your car? You know there's no such thing as road rage. It's just rage. Maybe it's, Lord, I just need to let you in. I'm raging. I'm like a ticking time bomb, but I've learned to mask it. And this is for men and women. Maybe it's a secret addiction. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, eating, whatever it is, just say, Jesus, it's between you and me. I'm letting you in. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands. This is how Jesus works with us. He goes to us, just the two of us. He does not want to embarrass us. He loves us. He's kind to us. Just say, Jesus, I'm letting you in. To this box, I'm going to open it. To this door, I'm going to open it. To this room, I'm going to open it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stay a little longer. It's times like this, I appreciate there's no one playing the keys. I appreciate there's no perfect music. There's no dry ice machine. The lights aren't dipped, so no one's looking around. Because tomorrow and on Tuesday, that's not the reality of our lives. And this is a safe place, a place where we can say, Jesus, come in today and start a work in me that runs through tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Because the truth is, church, when we fully do this, the Bible says he'll come back. Because he's coming back for a bride that's made herself ready. A house that is built. An army that's drawn for battle. A body that's fitly joined together. A vine that is fruitful. So thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this precious church. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, including myself. And I ask that you just seal what you've begun today in us. You'd seal it. We wouldn't just run race on, but we'd remember tonight. We'd remember tomorrow when we're on our own with you, driving to work, sitting alone. We'll remember this conversation, this moment, and you'll continue to do that work in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, church. So good to be with you.
Amen. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Dan. Well, we are dismissed. If you would like someone to pray directly with you, we have a prayer team. They would love to pray with you. So be blessed. Have a great day.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.